call the subcommittee meeting to order. Welcome. Thank you for being here. This is going to be more of the Brian show than anybody else, I think, at this point. I was told that I could meet with Brian last Friday, and I'm really glad I did because he really laid it out quite well. I think that the system that you've got, I've been thinking about it, the system that you've got and the flow that you've got and the way that you're managing the projects, it's very well run. It's a city operation, and it's really well run. So I've actually been bragging about you a little bit. To get started, I think what we need to do is just basically hand it over to you, Brian, if you want to go ahead and work your way through it, and then we'll...
Very much. Thank you for your time last week. I think that was helpful and maybe it'll help streamline today's process. Just in case, I think most of you are familiar, been around waterways for a couple of years now, but I'll kind of rehash some of the process with FIND. So FIND, of course, is the Florida Inland Navigation District. They have an annual grant program called the Waterway Assistance Program, or WAP for short. That is money that is available to come back to the participating jurisdictions within their area, from Nassau down to Dade County. So it's the counties and all the municipalities that are within that stretch where the Intercoastal Waterway lies are all eligible for funding. Waterway assistance programs for projects that are either directly on or connected by waterways to the ICW. So certainly benefited from the or connected to category, since we have quite the extensive system of waterways in Ball County. And there is, most projects are two-phase projects. Phase one is design and permitting, and then phase two is construction phase. Every grant we get, the grant agreement is for 2 years is the default, and you're eligible for up to 1 year extension. Some projects do require that third year because of permitting or other factors that delay a project. Try to avoid that when we can, but we try to keep things on track. But that process of 2 years and another 2 years for the construction phase is important to keep in mind as we select projects. We want to avoid a situation where we apply for a whole bunch of design projects that graduate to construction at the same time, because obviously construction is significantly more expensive. Spend $2 million on new design projects, and then 2 years later, we've got all those projects ready for construction. Now you got $10, $20 million worth of projects. Well, there's a cap every year for every county. So Duval's cap has inched up a little bit every year, and that's dependent on the ad valorem taxes and the budget allocate to the program every year, and that can vary. And it's always their board's ultimate decision if they want to fund it at the full expected level, or if they've got another funding need for some drastic important. That's the reality. I've not experienced that, so I think they definitely try to, because they think counties rely on the funding. Saying all that, it's my goal every year to have a mixture of design and construction. Had a bunch of design projects. If you look at the first sheet, all the yellow highlighted projects are design projects. Orange is construction, and that lone blue one was an acquisition project. 2018, we had quite a few design projects that we then had to fund construction. So that's why you see in 19, 20, and 21, it's basically all construction projects that had to catch up. So now with this year, this past year, we just got the funding for the 2022 projects. which was one construction project, and a handful of new design, which we're just starting to kick off now. So all those new design projects, I'll have to find a slot for construction in the coming years. Again, since there's a fair number of them, let's see, five, I was trying to find which, if any, I could fast track to do a construction project next year. Again, if I waited 2 years, I'm going to have a bunch of expensive projects that the fine program itself won't be able to fund. If that happens, we have to go to the city council. One project we did identify was Oak Harbor. Oak Harbor Boat Ramp Bulkhead Project. So again, we're just kicking off the design. We're in the process of getting the scope, and we'll kick that off at the beginning of the year. But that's that one could be fast-tracked. I confirmed with our engineering consultants because we have replacement of the bulkhead one for one in the current in the same footprint. Permitting wise, it'll be eligible for exemption, so that's the permitting is always the wild card, but that would that can be fast tracked because of this permitting process. So because that's a hefty price, bulkheads always are, I went ahead and put that down as one project from the new design projects from this year that could be accelerated. All the other ones are going to require more intensive permitting processing, so to expect any of those other projects to be ready by September of next year, which would be the deadline to have permits to be eligible for projects, it's just not really, it's really a gamble, and for most of these, it's not feasible. So anyway, that kind of explains that first sheet. This shows where we are with existing projects and the fact that we wanted to accelerate the Oak Harbor project. That's a good reference tool here. The next two sheets, first one, the table, is the recommended projects for this year, and there's Oak Harbor at the top. But the packet below that is the presentation, so I can walk through that as we talk about the different projects. Then simply the last two projects, or the last two pieces of paper in your packet, are just reference maps in case you need to know where a facility is that we referenced in on this list. So going into the slide deck here, it is double-sided, so you got to kind of flip, look at the backside. So I'm showing four projects, two construction phase, two design phase projects. There, that shows where the locations are. It was always kind of a goal, but not necessarily a requirement to kind of spread the use. But, you know, city council likes to see, you know, sharing the love. So we can try to do that if at all possible. But there's kind of shows a representation of the spread of these projects. But I'll dive into each one of these individually. So, again, Oak Harbor is the first one. There's an image of the park. You can see the bulkhead there, and there's just a photo of the deteriorating. Got the grant money for design phase. Just this month. Executing that contract, we're going through purchase order process for the design kickoff. Placing the bulkhead in the same footprint, permitting would be streamlined. The engineer consultant is very comfortable with meeting the grant deadlines of being eligible for receiving construction. You see the cost there. So that's the total cost. So if you compare that with the table, the request from FIND is $800,000. You double that because it's 50-50, right? So double that, $1,600, and then we always add on another 10% to that because there's some internal costs that are not reimbursable by FIND. So you'll see that 10% padding. We've always done that. So you'll see that number, why, you're like, why is that number not just twice? Well, that's the reason. So the Aspirin fine for that one would be the $800,000, but the total allocated cost for the city council will. Up to half the value of the actual awarded.
Question.
Yes.
So I see a lot of corrosion on a steel wall, and it looks like the cap on that wall is in great shape. Is the replacement wall going to be vinyl or address the corrosion problems?
Actually, this picture doesn't do justice. I should have put more examples in here, but the cap is actually in poor shape. There's areas where it's chunks of concrete have fallen off completely.
Falling.
Cracking.
How old is this wall?
Sorry?
How old is the existing wall?
This wall is actually only about 35 years old. So we had the engineers look at that because one of the other projects we awarded last year was Mike McHugh Boat Ramp, and that's actually about 50 years old. And that's actually worse off than this one. So that would have been my priority, but that one's going to take a longer permitting process because we're actually going to have to extend the seawall because we've got an area of erosion. So because of that,
this jumped.
We'll do that one next year, but this one is, again, is a project we could get ready for construction funds. The engineers looked at the plans from 35 years ago and don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but the thickness of the sheet is thinner than they would have anticipated. That kind of leads to why it's starting to fail prematurely. So it certainly needs to be done. Can it survive a few more years? Yeah, probably so. But again, it makes sense lining up the funding. This is the opportunity, and this would dovetail nicely with all the other projects coming down the pipeline. So. There is a spot or two that where there is some actual
still coming through,
but the cap is in poor shape.
So the replacement will be similar.
Yes, it'll be a full replace. Yeah, I think typically what they do is just put the new sheet pile right in front of the old. One thing that we'll look at also is resiliency. Should that as well. Yep.
Projects were in a holding pattern waiting to
sure. Yep. Yeah, we always put we look at what the current pricing is looking like and then project it, you know. Projecting it a year and a half out because we apply in the spring. We don't get the grant until a year from now, so October. By the time we execute the contract and we're able to put it out for bid, we're in January, February, March 2024, and by the time they actually get going, it's going to be summer of 2024.
Wow.
There's a process. You know, when you tie yourself to a grant, you're tying yourself to the timeline. So another reason to get this one going because it's, you know, before it actually gets done. So I think this one's pretty cut and dry, but if you have any more questions, I'm happy to try to address them.
Should this have been?
50 years is typically, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what, like I said, Mike McHugh was, you know, similar environment, and we did get for a few years now, but about, you know, 50, if
years, the sea level will be roughly 2 feet higher. So I know nobody wants to talk about that, but probably you mentioned resiliency. So,
yeah, I've posed the question to our chief resilience officer.
Oh, so the height hasn't been determined yet?
No. Like I said, we've just are executing the grant agreement for design, so we've not started the design, but that will be part of the design. Where is that going to be? We did put in some accommodate raising the cap a little bit. Not at some point.
Yeah.
Well, I think all these projects are going to wind up.
Good
question, but it.
Yeah.
Questions about that project. I'll move to the second one on the list, which is St. John's Marina Boardwalk. So this is the ramp downtown next to the old River City Brewery restaurant. This is the one stretch of kind of like the tail end of the South Bank Riverwalk, but it doesn't, from the ramp, it just kind of dead ends there at that platform. It was, pre-Hurricane Irma, it was already starting to show its age. The rest of the South Bank Riverwalk, obviously, this was not addressed. Went through the FEMA process for this. So that's why it's not moved forward, because how are we going to fund this? So this was another project that kind of sitting on the shelf. It hasn't had any fine dollars to it yet, but we already have 100% design plans, and the permits are sitting there, ready to go. So we thought this would be a good way to spend money on. Yes.
Work with the building that they're going to be doing there, the construction, the condos, whatever they're going to be.
Yep, so all that will be to the east of the boat ramp. That'll be where the boat ramp, yeah. Okay.
And the parking lot,
that'll
be part of it. Yeah, that'll be part of it.
The new access to the ramp will actually come, you see the parking lot that's underneath the bridge, across the bridge there. The new entrance to the boat ramp will be coming through there. That'll be modified to have boat trailer parking, and then you'll navigate through there. Come in from the west side of the ramp parking lot, kind of where that ADA parking space is, in the aerial here. And you come in, turn to the south, and then back your trailer in. Backwards, kind of like a hammerhead design.
What project was that? Remember we went through that before.
I don't remember what it was called.
What was it called?
Which project?
Project like this a year or so ago that did the parking lot and all that. They redesigned the parking lot. That wasn't fine money, was it?
The only fine project that we did here recently, we had a dredge project planned for this area. Got into the design. Head that's around the adjacent, around the River City Brewing Restaurant. One, they couldn't find any as-built. Two, it was deemed to be in poor condition. So, not do a dredge here. The restaurant was active at that point, and you could collapse it into the river.
Bulkhead,
so we
was a remnant.
It's the original bulkhead, yeah. So we for that project, all we did was a little clean out. We took a long reach and just kind of did the scoop at get actually to that dredging in a couple of slides, but there was no other improvements. That was just that fine project was just to look at the dredging. Actually evaluated whether the ramp needed to be extended, but the ramp was determined to be of sufficient length. Muck, so we, you know, that length is there. It was just.
We're discussing that this ramp is going to be limited as.
A lot of current, and it being on the inside of the bend, it's always going to have that propensity to fill in, you know, faster. So, we have dedicated people that, yeah, it gets a decent amount of use. There's more contractors than down there on a weekday, you'll see. In there, it's got some kind of, you know,
project is just for the boardwalk.
This project is just replacing that wooden boardwalk in the same footprint. You're reestablishing what was there. One, it's unsafe now. I'm sorry? It'll be the same footprint and same materials, but the construction, obviously, I mean, it'll be completely demolished. Nothing will be salvaged. I mean, you know, the piles and everything will be redone.
Bulkhead look like.
Bulkhead or the?
Excuse me, not the bulkhead. The
boardwalk?
That's original from the
roughly
80s.
30 years old.
At
80s?
For it being really new and all that.
Yeah, it was in the 80s. It was in the late 80s.
We stayed up long enough out at night to go there.
Yeah.
35 years. And Irma.
Yeah, the engineers in the design, you looked into how to build up to today's standards and make sure. In a vulnerable spot, amenity that some have missed. It's actually that platform at the end provides. Displaced. The rest of the south bank is there's actually signage.
What's the bulkhead look like around there? Does it look pretty good?
On this side, there's replacement bulkhead project include that side of the ramp. Yeah, it'll be the same.
I just wanted that green line. It's not going to extend.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I got to correct that map. So actually, you know, so there is a project to extend the South Bank Riverwalk to all the way to the Fuller Warren behind Baptist. So there's a. But because of the constraints with the railroad bridge, you couldn't go continuously along. The options are go above or below, and it's like no and no, you know, it wasn't feasible.
I could get below.
So the workaround is actually going to go on street down San Marco Boulevard over Prudential, across the railroad tracks, and then turn back down to that new development just on the west side of the tracks there. They built the Riverwalk. Yeah. pieces.
To another corkscrew park going over the rail line? There's not enough space
in there? It was contemplated, but the decision was made.
Corkscrew Park is awesome.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
In case you were wondering.
There's the architect of that one right there.
Yeah.
She did a great job.
Well, it's another one of those would be great, but
that's that project again. That was one that was that's shovel ready if the funding's there. Since FEMA says no, find. I've checked with them. They're that exhausts all really are the construction projects that would be ready to go by. The next two projects are new design projects. And one should look familiar from last year. If you recall last year's list, there was an alternative project that Commissioner Haskell actually suggested, which was extending docks at Jim King. Actually took that idea and level. So along the ICW transient docks at the north end of the property, you can see in the aerial, the north end. Quite popular with pass-through traffic, the long-distance travelers on the water and going long distance trips. They can dock here for free as long as space is available. It's proper just for people to stay overnight. Sometimes they stick around for a couple days. We don't have much in the way of amenities to support their needs. We do have simple restrooms down by that dock. They double as the park restrooms too. The thought here is if we add the next phase of transient docks at the south end of the park, tied into close to where the pump out station is, have some set, wouldn't actually be continuous with that line of docks. Probably wrap around that little cove there. Had a bathhouse that would be restrooms with showers and a laundry facility. Design into that building also exterior access restrooms for just the general public as well. That would be a pretty significant building. A night or multiple nights here, that would really kind of open it up. If they stay here, they catch an Uber, go to local restaurants, and attractive spot to hang out. And when another reason we like the docks over here, one is that star is, it's kind of we don't know exactly where, but if the bathhouse is in that general area, the land is higher, so. Also, if we had the other transient docks closer to the other, that would really aid the big events stacked in that.
Myself. This grassy area, Is there a place to put like a gazebo or places where people can picnic or?
We can certainly look into that. I mean, maybe the design of the building could even have like an overhang on one side. I mean, you know, we're.
Like, you know, like down at Metro, something like that. I mean, that wouldn't cost too much.
Yeah. Let's see. Either build that into design, or we can always look.
Yeah.
Have maybe like a wraparound porch almost with you can have like
yeah.
Marlin Association building down in St. Augustine, the Marlin Association building. That is cool. It's like a giant version of that two-story gazebo in that he's talking about in Metro Park. You know, it's like a two-story building. Get carried away here spending your money. But I mean, that could really be a premier spot.
Sure, and that's why you see the hefty costs. I mean, you think, wow, that for design, but, you know, this is a significant building. You want it to be something special, not just, you know, check the boxes.
That park is busy all the time.
Yeah. Next closest public transient dock.
In Augustine? Fernandina, and then St. Augustine.
Have any in Duval County.
But in between
all the other docks are, you know, boater access docks for rams.
There's a private one on
unless you come downtown, you know, there's some of our downtown docks have 72-hour docking, but, you know, you're getting off.
A couple of hours if you're in a sailboat.
But we will have more once the
awesome.
This might make up for losing Metro Park.
Yeah.
Like palms?
To respect the time, because we got to move this along a little bit. Great project. We probably better jump to the last
one. Yep. And so the last project on our staff recommended list is kind of this holistic dredge project for the multiple downtown sites where we have public access facilities. So this map doesn't necessarily mean we absolutely need dredging at each of these locations, but this project would first, one, evaluate, do a bathymetric survey of all of these locations, see where the need is and how great the need is. That have the need and doesn't have other dedicated funding, because some of these projects are kind of wrapped up with redevelopment agreements that may be and those areas that were identified through that first phase of the design. $500,000. Everything I just said.
Sites look like they are augmenting projects.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mentioned we looked at the St. John's Marina boat ramp before, in one of those earlier second construction project. So that I told you we couldn't do the dredging before because of the existing bulkhead. CIP project coming up. Replace that bulkhead so that. Once that bulkhead is replaced, then we can move forward with the dredge. Really, really that whole south bank, because it's again on the inside of the curve, mm-hmm. does tend to silt in. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't have to be a continuous big dredge project. Spot areas, you know, by the docks and the way you get. Some of these areas are could be fairly minor, and then others be south bank. The north bank gets a little interesting up there, because obviously the Liberty Street Marina site. That is another active design project. We got the grant funds this year. To make the decision. If we can afford the dredging part of it, then we'll go ahead and take care of that. Project we have to do for this one. Shipyards area, that'll kind of be dictated by what the development plans come out to be for the shipyards west part in the future. A. Philip Randolph Dock, that's an existing dock that the Water Taxi uses, drops people off, you know, by intuition. Riverside of it is Metro Marina, again, that's part of that Iguana redevelopment agreement, so you may not need to include that one in with this one because of the timelines accelerated with that, so probably won't wait for us to do this, but there may be other dredging needs, maybe like in the Cove area for Metro Park, depending on what design plans. I confirm with Fine, we can design the project this way as an exploratory and then design whatever we determine in our spots we want to do. This project would address all those downtown dredging needs. All projects may be covered by other ways. Cover whatever it is the intention of this project.
How silted in are these places? Are we talking 2 or 3 feet? Or
I mean, you can get to all these facilities today. It's just it's slowly, you know, getting more and more silted. But the more facilities used, the more it stays cleaned out. So now that there's more activation happening, we're hopeful that the dredging needs moving forward won't need to be as frequent. I think along the south bank, it's just there's always gonna, that silt's always going to want to come back in there. But that coupled with activation of these sites should keep it more sustainable longer term. But how much we would move? I mean, I think we always kind of target 6 feet of depth at most of our spots. I don't have that. Some of these docks, it's good in like portion of it, but like the backside or like one end may be shallow, so it's just kind of again cleaning it up. So it's not. Some of these spots are really kind of minor cleanup and not a real substantial.
Do we have a handle on like is this like a every 10-year project or something like that?
Well, again, we haven't dredged here since the Super Bowl, so that's been.
So
20 years.
I think what he's saying is that use reduces the need. And at this point, I think we also, if we go back and think about what we've been looking at, a lot of the dock designs that we're seeing, Metro, I believe it was Randolph, and Liberty, all of them had provisions for larger boats. I want to say, which one was it that had provisions for, like, super yachts? Which one was that?
Well, Liberty Street area has an opportunity to take bigger boats.
Yeah, so, you know. You get Khan's boat in. He's going to need 10 feet, easily.
At least.
So, and then the other thing to remember about this, and the thing that was attractive about this when we discussed it was, it's not just what's happening on the waterfront. We've seen some pretty intensive use in the waterfront, but what we also, they finally managed to squeeze the Publix redevelopment and that whole thing around Phillips Highway and San Marco stretching towards this direction. And so what we're going to wind up seeing is, I think we're going to wind up seeing that, that we could really use some increased functionality on the South Bank. I've always had a problem with the fact that to the average everyday guy who wants to pull in and, you know, go get dinner at the Chart House or walk on down into San Marco area, you just can't do it. It just hadn't been there. So I think that this kind of goes hand in hand with a number of different projects that we have coming forward. With the timing that it takes in order to get this stuff done and approved, I figured that it'd be pretty good way to line it all up, kind of prepare Jacksonville.
Yeah, and we spoke to the DIA about this project, and they're like, "Yeah, I think this is a really good idea because there's so many projects coming down the pipe, and this could really support those efforts." So.
Do we have any questions on these four projects? Well, let's do this. What I would say is that if you're comfortable, I would say let's go ahead, take a vote on moving this forward.
Make a motion to move forward with this four.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. Before we move to the potentials, I want to drop down because I know Adam is going to jump across the table if we don't address it. The reason why the projects that are down there have the words not advisable on the bottom of it are not because anybody thinks that they're bad ideas. Adam, you had talked about kayak launches at Blanding and Collins, which we think are brilliant ideas. Unfortunately, the state controls those sites, so we can't use fine money to accomplish those. We got to come up with another way.
Well, actually, with Blanding, you can't. The state does not control what I had in mind.
Well, that's what we got to do. Is we've got to get a really good idea about what you want to do, because there are state blocks us on apparently on those.
So I've got a client of mine that Jim Hogan, who owns the swamp basically behind that shopping center where the Ted's and the Panera is on Blanding, and his interest is just in that billboard. So I called his number. I hadn't talked to him in like 5 or 6 years. I ended up getting, I think, his niece, who then put me through to him. But I talked to him for a while, and he was totally fine with the idea of working something out with the city for a kayak launch through his property. So I know that would still be more complicated than normal, but I think in terms of avoiding a conflict with DOT and avoiding a conflict, because I know that Clay County Utilities has a force main going under right where I currently jump in the creek there. So, of course, that's going to create all kinds of conflicts, you know, with a force main being under there. Not the least of which Jim was sharing with me that he was thinking that DOT was maybe thinking about doing some eminent domain in there and redoing that intersection. Of course, the last thing we want to do is go through all the trouble of building something only to have DOT demolish it. So the concept, as I'm thinking of it, would be to work something out with Jim, purchase or easement or something, and then access it from the parking lot behind the shopping center.
Well, I think the thing to do, and the reason why it's a timing issue, I think the thing to do is, and I'd be happy to help you any way I can or work with you any way I can on this, I think both of those are great ideas. That's some kayaking waterfront we need to open up to, you know, sane people. But it needs some development, and we need to kind of get some surety on it.
Sure.
And we may not be able to do it with fine money, but we could do it somewhere in another waterways commission modality. But that was the problem there, and that's why we didn't move it forward into the alternative list until we can get that question answered. The shoal markers, again, are also kind of out of our control. We would not find as kind of indicating, no. And then I think this was a John Nooney thing, the Berkman Shipyards kayak launch. And I respect the idea, except that the current there is a nightmare, and it's a super busy location. And Brian recommended that what we do is sort of redirect not only Mr. Nooney, but everybody down to the Hogan Creek area, which we do kind of have a plan moving forward on.
Yeah, there's a concept right now for that shipyards west, so between Hogan's Creek. Yeah, the other side of Hogan's Creek is where Mosh is going. So between Mosh and Nut Warlick is future park space, and that is test design.
Yeah, so I think we would probably be advisable from a safety standpoint anyway, to sort of redirect to that location.
Sure.
So that was the only reason why you see, and I asked for those four to be delineated from the others, only because it seemed like there was a critical fault that was going to keep us from being able to plug these in, and if we then all of a sudden needed to grab it and stick it into the recommendation is, because one of them gets knocked out that we've just voted to send forward, we could hit a wall and we lose it all.
Sure.
So if we could get some clarity on how to design the kayak thing, I think, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. We can spend more time on that. I mean, Jim's willing to negotiate. He's a willing seller. Like I said, his interest is in his billboard, which is like, you know, tiny little piece of that property, and the rest of it, he just doesn't. It's not that important to him. So,
all right.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll work with you on that as well, to explore that option. It's just, as Commissioner Parker was saying, if you don't have site control, and site control, to establish site control takes legal documents and city council.
Well, and maybe that's what you and I work on, is figuring out the site control and doing that separately and working that out. And then we come back.
Let's come back with a package.
Come back later. I mean, and the Collins Road, I would have to look at that some more. I know the land trust bought that 80 acres. So really, we would just have to talk to them. And part of their deal is public access. So, you know, I think the land trust would be fine with it. We would just have to figure out what's in the fine print. I don't know if they just own it fee simple and there's no easement on it. If that's the case, then they have a lot of flexibility. But if there's already a conservation easement on it, well, that might be a little different.
Not necessarily. We don't necessarily preclude kayak launches on it.
I'm on the board of Norfolk Land Trust, but they own it.
We don't necessarily preclude public
But they own it fee
use.
Simple. They own a fee simple.
I got to go back and remember, because there were some that was fee simple and some that were easement only. But I know that we don't necessarily preclude
right.
a public use. In fact, encourage it. We're just doing that with a trailhead out to the west.
Right.
So that wouldn't necessarily knock you out. And I'd be happy to move forward with you on that too.
Maybe we brainstorm that separately. But because I think those they do have legs. And as you guys have already pointed out, they're a little out of the box. It's not the normal stuff, but after talking to Jim Hogan, I know his parcel is definitely an option. We've just got to figure out how to put what is it going to look like to put those pieces together.
And I totally love the idea of trying to find a place that works, because that stretch of creek is gorgeous.
It's incredible. There's
it's totally wild.
Right.
Yeah.
Except a couple of bridge crossings, you don't see anything.
Yeah. But even the bridge crossings are cool, you know, because you're going under 295. I mean, it's just like when I take people under there, it blows their mind every time. And I love it. I do it about every year, and I think it's great.
And that's why a couple years ago, I worked real hard to get that launch in at Tilly Fowler, even though it was kind of this outside of the main entrance, and it was kind of squeezed into this tight little pocket area next to private residential.
But it's a clever spot.
An important spot to get the public access to that
yep.
waterway, cause the next closest was all the way up there. Not even the Ortigas, up over by Wayne B. Stevens Boat Ramp. So.
Yep, or Stinson Park.
Or Stinson. Yeah, and that. Yeah.
That's where I've come out.
That
and
parking lot's always slammed full with people going.
Always
to the
slammed,
so
yeah. And you got to carry your stuff all the way through the park. I mean, because I came out on that Tim Aquana Bridge one day because my dad had it. He's coming up on 79. He's coming up on 80 now. But he had it with the paddling. I'd put him in at Blanding, and he was like, "Look, I'm done." And we had to figure out how to drag our kayaks through the shoulder and side of the Timaquana Bridge on the west side, and had my wife come by and pull off the side of the road, dodging traffic while we're loading kayaks on the side of the road. So
next time I'll just set it up so you can stop at my brother-in-law's house. Okay, about four blocks down.
Yeah.
So but I mean, no, I think so these are definitely things that we need to, and again, with the time perspective, yeah, that these are things that I definitely are, yeah, let's do it, but we can't necessarily use them for the purpose intended today.
Yeah.
But I think it's great. All right, so, Brian, we want to get into a discussion about the alternatives. There's quite a few of them, but...
Yeah, I can kind of just rattle down the list and give us a brief description. And then, again, you've got those reference maps. Most of these sites should be on there. Blue Cypress, that's in the Arlington area. Fishing pier, that was actually a fine-funded project. So we've got the fishing pier, and we've got the boardwalk that parallels the river that goes all the way up to the boat ramp. Working on, extended that a couple years ago, and we're working on replacing the old section of the boardwalk. But this is specific to fishing pier, since it goes out over the water, and the piles need to be replaced too. That triggers permitting, so that would be a kind of permit thing, not just a. It crosses over the JSO law enforcement dock too. We've got a weird little crossing there with secured gates and everything, but yeah, that was another fine project a few years back. So, so that pier isn't, but we didn't make that our priority project because we discussed internally we're going to pursue another funding source. Think we're going to get that covered. There's a whole package of improvements we want to do at Blue Cypress. Part of a larger project for that park. I think we'll be able to get that done and get done. Well, it's the special committee on parks. You know, there was the two chunks of $50 million. So we've had into a package that city council, as long as they support it as a part of that compilation projects, and yeah, I mean the money's allocated, it just needs to be appropriated.
Feasibility of using it as
yeah, I mean, what's your confident or pretty confident then, yeah.
But we're doing a lot of
it would be, it's not going to complicate somebody else's decision matrix. Oh, you got fine money, so you don't need this money. Find would understand that. If they're making a decision, if we put this forward, they're making a decision. Go, no, go. Tell them, yeah, we're reworking the whole place.
Talking about city council, not fine. Right, because the decision, it will be a city council whether they want to.
Or I'm thinking, if we push this forward, city is already putting a bunch of money. Are they going to trip over their own shoelaces because of that?
Fine, we'll just, you know, first of all, they won't even see the alternative list. They just see what we apply for, and if we apply for it, I mean, they've always been supportive of every project. Gets vetted through city council. They're like, okay, this is important to the city.
I'm not worried about anything other than if they see that it's already being done, they'll go, find. But what I just asked was, do you need find money? And you're saying yes to wrap it up, is what I understood you to say. Did I have that backwards?
No.
Okay, so. Okay. Strike it.
Let them pay for it.
I misunderstood it, so strike it. Is what you're saying. Okay, right. That's what I was misunderstanding. Okay, good.
A suggestion, Jill, maybe part projects that our department is advocating for through the special community parks might make sense to, if there's waterfront related rights, to bring to waterways to say, can this body give a resolution of support that we
stamp of approval,
right,
type
right.
of thing.
Makes sense. Why don't we finish taking that up at a waterways meeting, not a fine
yes.
meeting. We got to get through this. Okay, Trout River.
Trout River Fishing Pier. So that's the old Main Street Bridge that crosses the Trout River. Years back, we renovated the south end of the bridge. So the drawbridge was removed, and then the south end was rehabbed and improved. It's a nice fishing structure. The north not done at that point because it had some structural concerns that were going to be costly, so it just kind of continued to sit on a shelf. It's been on this list for years. It's a good idea. There's more parking. It's a longer stretch, and the fishermen seem to prefer that. And whenever I go out there, there seem to be more people on the north end than the south end, even though the south end is the nicer one now. But again, the design would have to look into the structural anyway, that's on the list because it just recognizes it's still an opportunity. Whether it's a good one or not, I think would just depend on how much it would take to rehab an old bridge. Is it feasible? Is it advisable? Until it really gets investigated more thoroughly, it's kind of tough to call right now. But again, an opportunity. Next one is Joe Carlucci boat ramp. To add a fishing structure here, so not so much a long pier that jets out, but more of a platform, a smaller pier that has a platform at the end, maybe right there at the confluence of the ICW and the intercoastal. It could be a good spot for fishing. It was requested by a couple citizens when I've been out there, like, oh, man, I'd love to be able to fish here, but I don't let me fish off this dock because, that's the rules for docks and boat ramps. You're not supposed to fish from. Conflict of interest. So that's addressing a request, and there's certainly an opportunity, and I think just visually too, it could be kind of cool. A nice place to go.
Great spot.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Next one is TK Stokes Boat Ramp Bulkhead Project Replacement. It's on Trout or Rebo?
It's Rebo River, isn't it? Yeah, it's Rebo River.
It's a smaller neighborhood boat ramp. It's a fairly short stretch of bulkhead, but it's bulkhead is just aging out. It's not in imminent need, but it's on the list. It's identified in the Maritime Management Plan, so eventually we need to take care of that one. Wayne B. Stevens, access docks there need to be modified. You kind of go down the ramp, and then there's a ramp coming up to the pier before you hit the gangway going back down, and at high tide, that little dip there from the ramp to the access pier is underwater. So we had the same situation with Burt Maxwell a few years back. We redesigned that we extended that pier out so it's flush all the way up to the top. That's something that needs to get done at some point. I'll certainly explore other potential funding options for that one, too, see if we can get that one done sooner. But if not, there's an opportunity there. Mandarin Park boat ramp. The Maritime Management Plan identified that there is some room for expansion. We could widen the ramp, probably make that can squeeze two boats in there now, but there's only an access dock on one side, so it's usually one boat at a time. But if we widened the ramp and added another access dock on the west side of the ramp, we could accommodate the use at peak times a little better. And there should be room to expand the parking a little bit before you get some wetland impacts. So again, it's probably not high priority need, but there is an opportunity that maybe eventually, as we run out of opportunities, that we want to maximize our potential at all of our boat ramp sites, because we're not making new land. So. The next one is Newberland boat ramp improvements. So that's a real small beaten up ramp near Dames Point. It's really only used by a few locals that live in that neighborhood, but the ramp is in parking, that you just park on the side of the street. But it needs a little love. Replace the ramp and maybe the access driveway that comes up to it. But again, that one we can see if we can identify other dollars for it.
Brian, is there any room to improve the parking there at all?
No, I mean, all we have is it's basically like a street end that goes to the river. There's private residential and sides. The one side is a house that's pretty close to the ramp. The other side is actually an open lot, but there's some kind of like a screened-in pavilion on it that I think they must live in the neighborhood. Maybe it's next door, but they've got signage up to stay out on the property sort of thing. So they like their spot, and they're not willing sellers. So. If that ever became available, that would certainly make it, that would open up all sorts of opportunities with parking and making it a little bit of a park space and really make it worthwhile to pour money. But short of that, it's really just pulling off the side of the road. I mean, the traffic there is very light. Just people just pull off and go to Google Maps in that area. That's what they do. And that seems to work fine, but at the very least, we can replace the ramp surface to make it Curtis Lee Johnson boat ramp. That is off of San Juan on the west side. Some improvements with the docks there are what's needed. And trying to remember the full scope of that one, but it's mainly the docks. I think the ramp needed a little bit, not a replacement, but it needed some more maintenance kind of thing. This next one, Sidon Park development. If you may remember, there was legislation earlier this year. We accepted donation of some property off of Hector Drive just east of the gate station by 295. So if you get off 295, head east on Hector, right after you pass the gate station on the south side of the road, there was a small pocket. It was only a couple of acres. It's surrounded by tidal marsh. Property. entirely influenced, but there's that was a donation that we accepted, and we named it after the family, and that's why there was legislation. But there's the concept there is a little passive park, a place you can have a little picnic and have a little overlooking the marsh, and if possible, a kayak launch, but I'm not even sure if that's feasible, to be honest. I didn't really explore that further.
It's pretty skinny up in there.
It is.
That creek is every corner. Meandered up through there. It's a relatively deep creek. All the water seems to come out of the marsh.
Is
like
it
okay. Self dredges itself. Right. Something maybe to take a look at. But I've taken my boat almost all the
way. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Little island out there actually with some trees on it. A flocks of birds roost in it and everything.
Yeah. There's an opportunity here. It's obviously not our top priority. We just recently got it and. We'll start doing more exploration of it and see what the full plans that we want to embark on, and then we'll look at funding sources. But again, this would be eligible, but again, it's not one that I'd recommend moving forward this year.
And it has access right on the picture?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it's quite a steep earthen bank going up to the property, so there's a swale, so you have to engineer culverts in the driveway. The next one, there's a potential to put a kayak launch at University Boulevard and Clifton Avenue on the Arlington River. So we've talked about the Arlington River between University and Cesare
really?
Ad nauseum. but right there at the University Bridge on the north side of the creek on the east side of the embankment there, single lot right there at the corner. It's got a residential property right next to it, but it's City of Jacksonville owned land, and I was able to confirm that it's actually, I guess, real estate allocated it to parks unbeknownst to us at some point. but anyway, there's an opportunity there. I think the neighborhood some of the neighbors would probably be supportive of having something close by, but you know, then you got the proximity issue of a house right next door.
Parking spaces would be in that.
It's like a single residential lot, so it's probably maybe a third of an acre.
0.46 acres.
Okay, so that's a little bigger than
right here.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I don't think you would need more than a couple of spaces if it's just a kayak launch.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's been there forever. That
yeah. Yeah.
I've not explored the property, so
it's steep though going down. So.
Yeah.
So it'd need a little bit of work, but other than that.
Yeah. So again, an opportunity exists there. It's been in our inventory for a long time. But so that opportunity is not going to go away. That'll always be there. And I think before we would move forward with that idea, I'd want to spend some due diligence looking at the true
value.
The feasibility to put something there. Yeah.
Wetlands are going to be in a limitation on that property, but what a location.
And the last one on this list is Clark's Fish Camp. Most of you probably know that was advertised for sale, but my understanding is under contract now. And I did check with Fine just to confirm, would this be eligible, given that there's a restaurant there, and they remarked if we bought it, we couldn't buy a restaurant. So we either have to say we're going to demolish it and not have a restaurant there, or we just have to cut out the parcel where the funding that Fine gives us wouldn't buy that portion of the property. The city could still buy it, just chop it up into different pieces and not use Fine dollars for that one. But again, my understanding, I've heard that it's under contract. There's certainly an opportunity, but there's... parking and a little bit of park space, but you certainly have the flooding issues that are prominent there, and then you're inheriting the building whether you want it or not, so you have to deal with that. So again, it's an opportunity, maybe it's an opportunity. It could be off the market. I don't know. But I just want to acknowledge that, yes, it's out there and we're aware. But to throw it out there. But
I don't know that we can really get an opportunity to do that when that there's a underlying need by the family to sell that fast. So, and it was offered to us, but we kind of looked at it and went, whoa. But
a few issues there.
For our purposes, I don't think fine money would get us going anywhere near fast enough, as that family had got themselves in a position that they really do need to sell.
Acquisition projects for fine only qualifies for 25%.
So yeah.
50-50, which is typical for a development project, so it's not as lucrative.
Maybe the city would just buy it outright and then use fine money to improve the docks and public access.
If the city wanted to pursue acquisition, yeah, absolutely. It would be eligible for future fine dollars for improvements.
Because that's a heck of a location.
I mean, definitely needs the parking.
Yeah, well, parking and
well,
sewer.
Well, I mean, if you got the whole thing, you'd have plenty of parking. The problem is time. I don't see any way in the world that fine money is going to work.
Yeah.
Because
like you said, rushed to sell.
If this doesn't get bought soon, it's going to get bad for the family. Not sure I hate to see that happen. But all right, so I heard a lot of yes on the Carlucci boat ramp, and I saw some eyebrows go up on the university kayak launch. How many do you think we need to plug in?
I don't know, maybe I didn't talk about the cap too much, but so you see our request right now is at $2 million for find and
0.8, right?
And well, I confirmed after we spoke target, you know, it's very premature to guess, but she's like 1.9 is probably, you know, it always ticks up a little bit each year. So she goes 1.9 at this phase is probably a good expectation, but you know that could really change now in a year from now. So let's say 1.9 is our target. If we ask for the current four projects that the staff has recommended at $2 million, they're allowed. I mean, the board can do whatever they want. They can fund over the cap if they want to, if they like all of our projects more than some of the other counties, and we might get the full request. Or they might come back and say, sorry, we can only fund you at 1.85 this year. Where can you shave some dollars off? And then I'll, you know, 9 months from now, I'll know a little more fine, a little more detail on these costs and be able to. So as far as plugging in any, I would recommend sticking with our recommendations, but certainly the alternatives are there. It's up to you guys to provide your own recommendation back to the Waterways Commission at the next meeting, and then whatever comes out of the Waterways Commission is what we'll introduce in legislation.
Well, it sounded like Blue Cypress probably would not be one to really sort of put in your arsenal, but in order of appearance here, is this would mainly be for you. Let's just say they kick dredging and we want to try and fill that spot. I mean, the Carlucci design sounded, I heard a lot of yes mumbles, but is there some input on order of what we would like to see?
Question, and it's not on any of these lists. Whatever happened with the Crady Fishing Bridge?
So that's a state project property.
Isn't it like Duval had theoretically half the responsibility, Nassau had half the responsibility, and there was a debate about who had put money into the kitty for that, and both counties were supposed to have been funding that over the last 20 years, but nobody funded it, and we kind of, it just sort of dropped at that point. But maybe
well,
this is
state,
not the venue to discuss that one, but I think that would be one that would need addressing at some point.
Well, the state has its own find program. They have their own grant program. It's called, I think, CAP, where this is the WAP, and there's the CAP, which is, I think, the cooperative assistance program. So that's for find funding state agencies. So they, if that's
a state park.
Yeah, it's a state park.
Yeah, there was discussion that with the state wasn't even going to allow anybody to touch it for liability structural reasons, and that was the last that I remembered in waterways.
It's fenced off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of talk about how the connections between the piers and everything were
toast.
Yeah. And so I remember in the Waterways Commission meeting that we sort of backed off of it because it's sort of the state telling you, yeah, we're not going to let you touch it until we take a look at it, and we'll let you know when we look at it.
So it's really DOT that's leading the charge on that, DOT and State Parks?
That's my, I think it's State Parks, and then DOT, I think, kind of washed their hands of it when they gave it to the state, is my understanding. Because back when the Sisters Creek Bridge was replaced, we approached them about a similar idea. When you, rather than demoing the old road, the
right.
old bridge, can you leave the part that attaches right next to Jim King? Maybe let's turn that into a fishing pier. And they said, I don't think you're going to want to do that. Washing our hands of this, you're going to inherit this maintenance nightmare, and we totally advise not you don't move forward. So ultimately, we decided, okay, we'll trust you, and we'll if we want something there, we'll build.
We talked about putting
like
something
about
next to it.
Lucci.
Yeah, we talked about that. Maybe that would be an option for a future project. Would be putting something up that we can handle. Next door.
I'd like to see us move towards or include the Mandarin boat ramp expansion.
I like that.
For the people in the south end of the county.
They need it.
They really
do. And we did a nice kayak, adaptive kayak there.
So y'all would recommend moving that up to?
In the Joe Carlucci.
What's the parking at the Mandarin Park these days in the summer?
Overfilling?
I'm not sure how much the boat ramp is fine. No, the regular parking space is by the playground area.
Oh.
That's slam full all the time.
Party time.
But I think we'll learn that, all of as the population grows and water access sites remain what they are, or we find one-off opportunities every once in a while, we're going to have more and more pressure on our sites. So I think we're eventually going to be forced to maximize our potential at all of our locations. So this would kind of answer that need, whether it's now or in the future. I think 90% of the time, it's quite sufficient for what it is, but it's just those peak times, I think there's probably a bit of
I was getting at the larger ramp. Can it afford more parking? Do we have enough parking for the more boat traffic?
Seems like it'll get used, so it's money well spent, I would think.
So Mandarin would be high on your list. Carlucci would be high on the list. I saw a lot of head nodding about University and Clifton. That seems to me like a small project, but it could be a fairly quick one maybe. Doesn't really need that much.
Again, I'd want to not step foot on this property. It's just been looking from an aerial.
Mm-hmm.
So before I'd be comfortable moving forward with that, I'd want to do some boots on the ground, make sure what the potential truly is before I'd recommend it as a project, whether it's this year or certainly an opportunity.
I would say
there.
It definitely has potential, except for the height. It's really high up.
Oh, yeah, like you couldn't handle it.
Neighborhood battle, you're trying to put more kayaks and more stuff in there.
It'd have to be ramped down a little bit, dug out a little bit to make it easy.
And to me, I wouldn't put money in it.
Okay.
I'd rather find another place to put money.
Well, I think especially right now. I think right in the middle of a firestorm.
Yeah.
Is that a speedboat launch there?
What's that?
Is that going to be a high-performance speedboat launch there?
It's a place you put your jet skis in.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing that we don't want to poke the beehive. Okay.
What about the Trout River Fishing Bridge?
That's another bridge, right?
another bridge, but I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be a lot of local residents using that. I have no doubt it would get used a lot by the local residents. Maybe that should be something that we focus on, because, like, you know, Andron's served improving what they've got, which, it, you know, I'm not objecting to, but maybe Trout River would be a good one. I've not seen the condition of that fishing
bridge. I mean, people still use it, but it there was basically no improvement done for fishing. It's just like we just allow people to start using it, and it's, the surfacing's all rough.
So in your opinion, is, I mean, and this is a guess, I understand, but you're talking $385 for design. I mean, which would imply what?
A
pretty expensive construction.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I guess what I'm asking would be, I see where the area would probably be served, but if we paid $385,000 for design work that said we needed an $8 million construction project, that's not going to help us. So,
are you telling me there at Trout River, there is part of the bridge is functioning now as a fishing pier, that there's two halves, right?
And so sounds
one
like
is functioning and one is not.
They're both open to public use. The south one has been renovated already. The concept was to do the same treatment to the north pier. It's actually longer, but it is open to the public. It's just in poor shape, and if we don't do anything with it, eventually it's going to continue to degrade.
What renovations were done to the south pier? I mean,
it was mostly cosmetic. I mean, it was surfacing, railing rehab. They had amenities down the middle of the road. They put covered benches and lighting and trash cans, and really just cleaned up the appearance of it all.
Is the north side like in more worse state of repair or state of, than the south?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying before. When we did that south end, the intention was to do both, but when they got into the design, they're like, whoa, pump the brakes on the north end. That is structurally questionable. The south end was, okay, you're good to go, let's move forward. But the north end, the funding wasn't there to really kind of take it to the next level with design because there was too many concerns with the structural. I don't think they were. I've not been able to find that full report, but my understanding is the north end could be, at least back then, it could be addressed, but it was going to be more expensive than, you know, what the south end was costing. So the decision was made to just shelve the north end for now.
Well, Brian, really is your?
It's really long and extends out over the marsh. That side of it.
It's probably twice, if not three times, as long as the south pier, yeah.
And that's where most fishermen go. Is that pier, not the south?
Yes, I think one because it's a longer stretch, and two, there's more parking. The south end is right next to the underwater dive school, right? Of a conflict. There's only like three spaces, and all the students quickly took those off, even conflict of use there, but the north end is its own little spot. But it's unimproved. It's kind of, you know, it's just basically in the road shoulder of Main Street there. People pull off, just a dirt area.
So it's going to take a lot to even make parking and everything there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If we move forward with the design, then I'm sure the cost of construction and improvements are going to be pricey.
Yeah, but the number of people that serves, and considering the neighborhood, I think that would be money well spent.
Yeah, I don't disagree. That's
well,
why it's on the list. Yeah.
Except if we've got to marry find money with some other source. I mean, if we're going to design a $5 million project, then the most we're going to see out of find in any particular year is going to be somewhere around two. We kind of need a plan. That's my only concern.
Thinking
as far
it's too
as who
big.
It's for find, maybe. I mean, because that's this. It has really interested me how much of a chess match this is.
Yeah,
we're not playing checkers here.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with construction projects capability, but then also we've got the monetary limit. And if we spend $385,000 to design a $6 million structure that we have no way of getting any money for, unless I mean, are you able to say it's going to take 3 years to do this and you get $2 million?
Construction too, that is eligible.
But is that realistic?
But then you're paying, you know, if you really chunk up the construction into phases, that's an extra mobilization cost, and it's really not an efficient way to construct it.
It also means we can't do anything else.
Right.
Why don't we just put something else instead of improving that bridge? Isn't there a little slither of land off of Hexer that we can go right down the zoo property and put another fishing platform there? Hole that's real deep over there on that bridge, abandoned bridge. I mean, maybe the money's better spent somewhere else in the area, but there.
Yeah, well, we have another fishing structure not far from there at Burt Maxwell. So, in addition to the boat ramp, we have a fishing pier. That's not that far away.
Even the Sidon Park, is there any potential for fishing there?
Maybe it's a real windy tidal creek system up there, and I don't even know if it's got water at low tide, to be
How
honest.
How big is your boat you took up there?
23 foot.
Oh.
Is Stokes
it's a bay boat, but it's 23 foot.
Any kind of a candidate?
I don't think it's I mean, it's just the bulkhead replacement, and it's I think only about 100 feet of bulkhead. So,
but
it's not a pressing need.
But no, I mean.
Oh, for a fishing structure? Is that what you're asking?
I have not been up the waterway to Stokes, but is Stokes a fishing opportunity that area would respect
TK
or care
Stokes
about?
Stokes is on the Rebolt River, and we already have fishing structures. We recently built in the past few years at Harborview Boat Ramp, Rebolt River Preserve, and Charles Reese. So we've actually invested quite a bit of money.
So it's already
nice.
Represented. Okay.
They're nice, too,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, so it's already represented.
Well, at least for the immediate future, this Trout River Bridge, people were using it.
And yeah.
Until it gets to the point where it's determined it's just not safe anymore.
Yeah. And we have existing fishing structures on the Trout at Riverview Park. So now it's back to ADA compliance, and it looks really nice. And there was multiple people out there the other day, their inspection. But we got one there, and then over at Burt Maxwell, like I said. So we do have fishing structures, and then the south end, of course, of the Trout River Fishing Bridge project. So there are spots. This would be just taking advantage of another opportunity. Best one, but it likely will be quite costly. But I just wanted to recognize that there is the opportunity there. It's just whether the juice is worth the squeeze. You know.
Well, Brian, can it be accomplished? I mean, look, you've been doing this for a while.
I think there are ways it could be accomplished. Whether we phase the construction, again, may not be the most efficient way to do it, but it's conceivable, or maybe part of the, until we really get into the design, I think it's difficult to say, but the structural analysis might say, you know, where the weakest part of the bridge is at the end. Maybe the smart thing to do is just chop it off, you know, so many feet from the end. Then now you've got a shorter structure to invest some improvements, and that would reduce the cost. But then
if you take the end of it off, does it fish well?
Yeah. Well, when I've been out there, it's not. Again, we've got the far end already blocked off, and that's where the boats.
Because that's where the old drawbridge was, so mm-hmm. You really don't want to reinforce casting into the boat channel.
Because even on the south end, we've got the fence up, so you can't.
I mean, you put it on the list for a reason. You like it. I'm not trying to crush your initiative here by saying it's too expensive. But
yeah, well, again, this list does not reflect what the department doesn't give our stamp of we love this project. This recognizes what has been identified not only by staff but through the Maritime Management Plan process we did a few years ago. Requests and comments raised at Waterways Commission, so we don't just discount those because we don't like them. We still acknowledge that they're here, and then let the decision makers decide how they want to spend the funds. We make our recommendations, of course. Again, I think Trout River Fishing Pier would, the north end would is not a bad project. I think it'd be great if we could do it. It's just until we get into the design phase,
we don't know.
What that is, I mean, it very well might turn out the engineers decide this structure is not worth putting a dime into. If you put lipstick on it, but within 5 years you're going to have failures that are going to be catastrophic to the structure. So it may come back and say let's not move forward, but we won't know that until we really get into.
So it sounds like Blue Cypress and Clark's are the ones that would be tabled. And then the others
definitely.
Are all possibilities.
Well, we were saying that there was some talk about the kayak launch at Clifton being poking the hornet's nest, so we might not necessarily want to jump right into there.
I honestly don't think
it. Don't?
I don't. I mean, fucking kayaks.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have a problem with that.
Talk to the neighbor.
Yeah. That would be the biggest. Like two or three car parking. So, I mean,
well,
and it's the closest place is Prosper Creek Boat Ramp or the Arlington River.
So if you're gonna
Ferrar, go talk to them.
Yeah. If you were gonna rank them, I heard a lot of support for Mandarin, and I kind of wrote one next to that just because everybody kind of seemed to agree with it. And then Carlucci, I heard a lot of support. I kind of stuck two on that one. Are we okay so far? Okay. So where would be the third one?
Trout River, we need to know.
Okay. I mean, I don't disagree with you.
So from a long-term funding strategy, too, so like the Three Street Marina is going to be much more than fines can pay for, so that's rolled into the CFE project status as it's been discussed. So if this Trout River fishing bridge at the North Pier were to be prohibitively expensive from a fine standpoint, the administration could add it from a CFP funding to get built.
And we'd be in a position to say how much it would cost and how much they'd have to put in at that point.
Right. I mean, from alternative funding sources, it doesn't all have to be fined once you put it on a fine list, it has to be only funded through fines.
Well, yeah, that's what I was asking Brian was if there's fine money and some other money, CFP, and then other sources to finish it out. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So just from that standpoint, just knowing that there's an alternative funding source and option.
Okay. And then do y'all want to add a number four, and we can give them our top four kind of backup alternatives? And I think you don't really need more than that unless y'all think differently. But is there
–
Carlucci, or did we
yeah.
Carlucci's in
so there. We have Mandarin is one, Carlucci is two, Trout River Fishing Bridge, North Pier is three.
I'm curious about Seaden Park and Berlin Boat Ramp. I haven't seen that new Berlin Boat Ramp, but I mean that one seems like it'd be most interesting if you could acquire that adjacent parcel eventually.
That was not much, is it?
Yeah.
It's
very tight in there, and it's low use at this point.
That would be a lower priority. What about Seaden Park? Just figuring out what you can even do in there, I think, is the goal, right?
Or do we need to correct the ramp problem at Stevens?
That's what I would recommend as next.
Yeah.
We could do that the same way.
Oh, sure.
You could jump
easy.
Right in there and get it done.
So that would be, that one could be done.
All right.
Quickly.
Sure.
So Mandarin, Carlucci, Trout River, and Stevens would be our top four. Are we comfortable with that as a subcommittee?
Two we're just suggesting to table would be Blue Cypress and Clark's.
And then separate from this, I really do want to... The landing and the kayaking down there is because
how do we
look at the concentration of what we've been talking about? It's all north and east,
right?
Getting something down there, especially that stretch of river, they spent a lot of money after Irma cleaning it up, so that it flows better.
Yeah,
and I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go jump off the tree back there all the time. So,
I still do it.
Yeah. It's not the same tree, but
it's not the same tree, but I still do it.
But it's a beautiful piece of water, and I think especially way down there, I've only ever made it all the way to Collins Road once, or Blanding once. Actually, I made it back that far.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But, yeah,
it's absolutely gorgeous. So, and how do we proceed with discussing that? Or do we just figure that out after the meeting today?
That's going to be a waterways thing, and then we can cycle it back in to find, or we can find another way to do it. But
okay.
All right, so I think we're comfortable with our top four. Are you?
This is top four, backup in case one of the other projects
backup. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already approved the recommended. And then just to tell you what our top four would be backup-wise, if you've got to get into a negotiation about it. So it'd be Mandarin, Carlucci, Trout River, and Stevens. And we're good? Okay. All right.
I have 1 minute.
Please.
Sure. It is the pier portion is complete. The docks are still in manufacturing. We expect them later. I'm anticipating the project to be done by Christmas.
This Christmas?
Now, the question is whether the zoo will be prepared to accept visitors from the finished dock, but the dock should be done by the end of the year. They are building a temporary access, because they've got a whole master plan vision, right, for the zoo that they're working through. So they're working on a temporary access where people that come high up there, come in, they'll probably have some temporary ticket booth on the property, not on the dock. And then you go through there and down a walkway, and I think it'll deliver you over by the Tiger area.
That's the way they used to do it back a long time ago.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
They used to be able to, you'd get into the zoo for free if you came up by boat.
Oh, right. That's at the other location. Part of the permit was their old location. That was not sustainable because it was very shallow there. This actually has kind of deep enough water. There's enough depth there that we didn't have to dredge, and that was like the goal. Because like, if you start dredging it across the channel, it's just going to silt. Natural hole right there, and then the route to it, we found this natural little cut that went back there. So part of the project is marking the channel, so the approach to get in there, so you don't hit bottom on the way to it. You'll know So
by the end of the year. Christmas, huh?
So what? So maybe in the spring when they have a grand opening or something, we could have a special for the month of whatever that boaters can get in for free. We vote on that.
All right.
That's the zoo.
It has to do with the zoo.
Yeah.
We'll find fun there.
There you
yeah.
go. Well,
and on you. And on that note,
have to go, right?
But I'll tell you this: even if I mean, I know they took away the free access by water some years ago, but they will not be able to charge you for just tying up to. Like, if you just want to go there and kind of look at the view, they can't run you off to public dock, but they'll charge you once you get on, step on the uplands.
Well, on that note, it was fun last year. It was just Jill and I, basically. And what's been great is all this input has been fantastic because there's so much stuff that I don't know. I'm glad to have it. And I got some more things to work on next year. That'll be even fun.
Absolutely.
So without further comment, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
Ron, you got a quick second? I just pulled up the Google map here. That place on...
Yeah.